even though there is so much going on in the world, yet in the midst of this crisis, this refugee crisis, an amazing thing is happening, and that is God is reaching out and touching millions and millions of people around the world, but especially in the refugee movement. And many of these people are coming to the Lord. And what is interesting is that a lot of them long to eventually go back to their own country and share the good news of Jesus with their own people. And just as the Berlin Wall fell in our lifetime, and we saw communism crumble in the former Soviet Union, so many believe that in our lifetime we will also see a new Iran, a new Syria, a new Afghanistan, and a new Iraq established as the refugees eventually return back to their own country and share the good news of Jesus with their own people. So, friends, I want to say that we are living in strategic times, and you are a part of this incredible story through your partnership. So even though as a congregation, you're not a big congregation, your commitment, your prayers, your support are changing the world. And for this, I want to thank you with all my heart. So let us pray now as we look at the text this morning and hear what the Lord may have for us to hear. Father, we thank you that your word never returns to you void, but accomplishes that for which it was sent. And so this morning, Lord, we ask that not only anoint my words, but our ears, so together, Lord, we may enter into unity with heaven's work, with heaven's assignment, with heaven's voice, that we may join with you in the work that you are doing on the earth through our lives. In your precious name we pray. Amen. At the beginning of every year, I have a habit, and the habit is that I ask the Lord to show me, give me a word or a phrase or a scripture that will define how he wants to work in my life for that year. I think it's a practice I want to encourage all of you to do, because when you do, it's amazing how intentional your life becomes and how you begin to see the practical ways in which God shows up in your life. So this year, he gave me two words, presence and surprise. And so I thought, you know, when you hear the word surprise, your mind races. What? Wonder what kind of surprises God's going to give me. Well, the first thing I had to do is learn to walk with him more in his presence so that I can take that presence wherever I go. Well, I didn't have to wait very long to know what the surprise was, because in a couple of months into the new year, a friend of mine called me and said, would you be open to going to South Africa with me? And by the way, we are flying with Emirates, and we're going to stop at Dubai for a long layover, both going down and coming back. Now, what is significant about this? Oh, by the way, it was all expenses paid. Airfare, hotels, the works. What was really a surprise was that I have a wish list, and I encourage you also to have a wish list, a list of things that you'd like to see and do in your lifetime. And I have traveled and worked in about 60 countries, so I've seen a lot of the world. And I guess for me, traveling isn't so much a novelty. But I did have on my wish list that I wanted to go to Dubai because I have friends who work there in the Arab Peninsula, and I wanted to be able to see that land. And the other was South Africa because I have relatives there and they've come to me, but I've never gone to them. So when she said we are going to South Africa and Dubai, I thought, oh, I've got my wish list, is this is one of the surprises. So I just said, Lord, all expenses paid, this can't get any better. So we embarked on our trip to South Africa and Dubai. My friend had never been outside the country, so she was very green. How many of you have never been outside the United States? Good. I'm talking to a good good audience here. Well, she was very green, and when I say green, you'll know why. We land in Dubai, and the first thing she says at the airport, "What's this gibberish over the loudspeaker?" I said, "Honey, that is the Muslim call to prayer." being echoed throughout the airport. She didn't know what it was. For her, it was just noise. She didn't understand the significance of what that was. But for me, it was like, wow, you know, these guys are so religious, they're even piping the call to prayer throughout the airport. So then we landed in South Africa, and I noticed that she started becoming more and more agitated. And I began to kind of take note, and pretty soon she had gone into full-fledged panic attack. And to make a long story short, the purpose of the trip was another surprise, and that, yes, it was good to see the animals and the safari and all that and to go to Dubai, but my purpose was to come alongside my friend and to see her healed miraculously from a trauma that she was experiencing. So she had gone through a trauma, and that trauma was buried deep inside her soul. But when she stepped into an area that was unfamiliar to her, suddenly all those insecurities came to the surface. And there she was experiencing a panic attack that she didn't know what to do with. And so together we prayed, and the Lord healed her miraculously. The next day she woke up and she started singing, and she felt like completely a new person. So that was the surprise. But now I want to ask you a question. Think of the time in your life when there is a milestone, moments throughout the history of your life. And if you start thinking about your life, I guarantee that one of the things you're going to notice is that God shows up in your life in surprising ways. Think of the unexpected way in which you came to know the Lord Jesus. What were the circumstances that led you to the place where you realized who the Lord was and that you came to know Him, and the people He used to influence you in that decision? Think of the way that God has met you in a moment of great need and the surprising way that that need was met. Think of the time when God allowed you, if you're married, God allowed you to meet your spouse, how you met your spouse, how that situation came about and the circumstances that led it, all led by the Lord. And then think of the doors of opportunity that sometimes God has opened in your life that were truly a gift from Him. And so we'll see that in the way that God works in our lives, He often does surprise us in a pleasant way. But the most important way that I've discovered that God shows up is when we are experiencing hard times. It's when we are in the valley. It is during those difficult times when God shows up in unexpected ways and in special ways. And I believe that God reserves a unique revelation of who He is in those moments of hardship, where we experience His love, His kindness, and His grace. And He offers that for those especially who are suffering. And in the valley, God reserves a special encounter of His nature. And He takes what is barren in our lives, barrenness meaning the areas where we're stuck, the areas where we are not fruitful, the areas where we haven't got victory. And He changes that. He causes it to blossom. And He recalibrates our life so that we begin to think differently, so that our thinking is aligned with His. In Isaiah 51:3, the Lord says, "The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places." Those are the barren places again. "He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord." The wilderness is areas in our lives where we've experienced injustice, disappointment, something that was unfair. We've all, if we live long enough, we're going to have those moments. And what the Lord wants to do is go right where that pain is, right where that hurt is, and turn it into a garden of the Lord, where we experience a surprise, we're surprised by joy. You know, C.S. Lewis wrote this book called Surprised by Joy, and it's really his spiritual journey of how he was a total agnostic, and he went all the way until he encountered the beauty of God, and he surrendered his life to the Lord. But in our own lives, we have those moments, and this is where God wants to show a unique expression of his nature, is when we're going through a hard time. Isaiah 51:12 says, I, even I, am he who will comfort you. Who are you that you should be afraid? As I thought of that verse, I thought of that we live in a world where so many people are scared stiff. Changes happening in the world, in the economy, in the global market, in every area of our lives causes many people to live in panic. And yet what the Lord is saying to his people is, I will comfort you. Who are you that you should be afraid? It takes a skill to know how to be afraid in difficult times. So during difficult times, we find that one of the gifts he gives us is the gift of joy. And that's the surprise. In Hebrews 12:2, we see a verse that also reminds us of Jesus and his journey. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne. When Jesus was on the cross, and we sang a lot about Jesus on the cross today, when Jesus was on the cross, he was not as God, he was as man. He experienced the torture and the brutality of the cross in every inch of his, in every cell of his body. It was excruciating. It was beyond human. And yet what held Jesus to carry through that assignment was the joy that he knew was on the other end. He knew that once he completed that assignment, that God would make a way for the human race to be reconciled to God. And that gave him joy. So in the midst of any trial, we need to remember there is joy waiting for us. And that joy is God saying to us, I'm going to bring something good out of what you're going through. So there's another gift here that I want to share. When we patiently endure hard times, Scripture says that there is a crown for us as a reward. And I didn't come up with that in my own. It's in Scripture. And I'll read you. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation or trials. In the Greek, that word is epomeni pirasmo, which means the weight of a challenge, the weight of a trial, the weight of a temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised those who love him. So basically, anytime you're going through a hard time, there's an upgrade getting ready. You're getting ready to be upgraded in your walk with him. You're getting ready to receive a crown that will take you to the next level in your walk with God. And in Revelation 2:10, Jesus confirms that again. And here the angel of the church in Smyrna speaks to the church. Now, the church in Smyrna was experiencing intense persecution. They were, and if you read early church history, the early church that was in the nation of Turkey went through brutality. They were treated so harshly, and these were the first martyrs of the church who had to begin to stand and take the fall because they believed in the Lord. And Jesus says these, listen to what Jesus has to say to the persecuted church of Smyrna. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison and be severely tested. Now, back then, the prisons were a brutal place. It wasn't like the prisons here where you get air conditioning and nice food. There they treated you like animals. You were treated, you were harshly tortured and brutally treated. And yet Jesus is saying you will have tribulation for 10 days. Yes, you're going to go through some things. Be faithful unto death. And that means some of you are going to exit this life as a result of this. And I will give you the crown of life. Here's that crown again that we talked about. The crown of life. So we must learn to view hard times as a gift. And just as in nature, where there is a mountain, there's always a valley. So in life, every mountaintop experience is always followed by a valley. For the most part, most of us living in the West, we consider hardship a nuisance, either to be ignored or eliminated as quickly as possible. But our brothers and sisters in the Muslim, in the Middle East, have to teach us much about suffering. They view suffering as a part of life. And part of life that brings out something good in us, that teaches us something. So as I reflect on that, I want to share with you four things that I think suffering can do for you as a gift. So the first one is that suffering teaches us to appreciate the good times and not take them for granted. So when I lost my husband, I told people, love your spouse, make the most of every day you have, because nobody knows when it's their time to go. Your health. How many times have you been sick? And when you were sick, you realized, wow, I had a good one. I was feeling well. I can't wait to get over this flu or whatever it is I have. And I remember this past winter, that I got a terrible flu around Christmas time. And in fact, I was here speaking to you on New Year's Eve, and I was speaking to you with a high fever. I managed to do it, but it was not easy. And so as I began to ask the Lord, now, why did I get this flu? Because I don't get flus. I don't get sick. And the Lord showed me that I had traveled 28 times that year, and I was back to back to back. And the Lord said, you need to learn to pace yourself a little more. So you learn through the hard times. You learn the things you could be doing differently. So for me, I've been able to adjust my travel schedule so that I do give my body a chance to recuperate. And with every passing year, we need a bit more time to do it. Okay. And so that was the first list. The other one is, when we've suffered, we seem to have a greater empathy and patience with others. We don't turn a deaf ear. We seem to have better understanding. And I know, like for me, when I got sick, I never had, because I was healthy all my life, I never had great empathy for people who had physical challenges. Somehow it just wasn't in me. But I tell you, after I went through my adrenal fatigue, the time that was very debilitating for me, I emerged out of that experience with great compassion for people who have any kind of physical illness, and a compassion to pray for them and to see them healed. So it does improve our ability to empathize with others. The third thing is that suffering is transformational, and that is we become broken so that we become better leaders. And you never see a leader. History has shown us throughout time that those successful leaders in the world have experienced suffering at some point in their lives that has helped bring out the greatness in them. We think of people like Joyce Meyer, who was brutally abused as a young girl, and how she has used that now to help and bring hope to many other people. Tony Robbins, who's a famous motivational speaker has gone through incredible suffering in his younger years. Even Steve Jobs was an orphan whose parents gave him up because they didn't want him. And he had to learn to overcome that. And I think it was that, to prove that he was worthy, that drove him into the things he did. Winston Churchill is a man who was scoffed and ridiculed in his lifetime, but yet he was a man who made history and quoted by many today. So basically, suffering is transformational. If we embrace it, if we learn from it, we'll come out of it a better person, a more courageous, more mature, more wise. And that's a gift. And then in the valley, you will also learn who your true friends are. When you're going through a hard time, note and see who reaches out to you. They are your true friends. And sometimes you will never find that out until you are in that place. I used to be a fearless person myself, but when I lost my husband, I became paralyzed by a fear that took me by surprise. It was because I had entered into an unknown territory. And I quickly learned that nothing can prepare you for the loss of a loved one. And nothing can prepare us for the grief that follows. And grief is part of the healing process, and we have to embrace it. And when we deny it, we never heal completely. Tears are actually the body's way of healing from emotional pain. So don't shun tears, because they are part of your healing as well. But it's also very painful to walk through. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And there is no set timetable. We each have to walk through it in the way that we know is best for us. But one of the things that helped me to overcome grief and change my perspective is I began to hear birds singing. And I realized that when birds sing, it's their way to sing to the Creator. It's their way of praising the Creator. And so as I listened to birds singing, I started to sing. And the more I sang, the more I sang my way out of grief. And there is something about that that helps with joy. In Isaiah 42:10 and in Psalm 33:3, God exhorts us to sing a new song to Him. A new song is God saying to us, okay, what are you going to do about it? Find an expression that allows you to express your trust in me. So God calls us to sing a new song, meaning that whatever we have said up to this point needs to change. We need to find a new way to sing, a new song. And sometimes we begin by listening to worship songs that inspire us, and we develop an affinity with the message of certain songs. Some of the songs we sang this morning are very edifying and very encouraging. But you can even make up your own song. You can make your own version and your own lyrics. But basically, singing is a declaration of faith. And it puts you in touch with the object of your faith. So if you're not happy with your life, find a different song to sing. And begin singing a song that encourages your faith, that stirs you, and builds you up, so that you have the ability to rise above the challenges that you're in. We all should be humming a tune, because God has put a song in us. And it's our song to the Lord. So pick your song carefully, because it's your declaration of faith. Find a song that reflects where you want to go and sing that song until you get there. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "For the anger of the Lord is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." This psalm speaks of God's promise that hard times are not meant to last forever. There is a place and a role and a season for hard times, but we're not meant to be stuck in it for a lifetime. If we are, then we're not doing it correctly. We need to graduate into joy and freedom. There is a new day coming, and we're supposed to rise and move into joy. So hard times invite us into a place of personal transformation, and that is a good thing. So we have to see any hardship, and all of us will experience hardship at some point in our lives. We need to see it as a gift. So it is with the refugees that God has called me to work with. These are people who have been at the very bottom of the valley. They have lost everything. Some of these people have seen their loved ones killed, shot in the war situation. Some of them have seen their babies die on the journey, because when there's no water or food, these little ones don't have the stamina to endure the hardship of a harsh journey. Many of these people have left their homeland with just the clothes on their back and not even shoes on their feet. So they have seen the worst of the worst. Now, one thing I've found working with refugees is that, yes, we have a message for them, but they have a message for us. And I want to share with you the story of one of the refugees that we work with named Masood. And I'd like if we can put his picture up. So he's a real handsome guy. There he is on the right, and that's me on the left. My first meeting with him. And Carly Schaefer is a community leader who is very influential in the city of Athens. So let's go to the next picture of the other one. Yeah. So there is Masood on the left with his wife, and then one of the women that worked in his fellowship. So I want to tell you his story because it's an interesting journey. This man was an Afghan, and you know Afghanistan is not the most friendly place to live. He was a Sufi, a Muslim Sufi. A Sufi is a mystic. It's a man who seeks spiritual truth. And so he pursued the great masters. He read and he practiced spiritual disciplines. He fasted for 40 days. He prayed constantly. And he was very committed to growing close to God and to knowing him in an intimate way. But unfortunately, the vehicle that he used to do that was not working. He was coming up empty. Eventually, Masood and his wife and family ran for their lives, left, became refugees, and they landed in Greece. And when they landed in Athens, that is when Masood began to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And eventually he had a vision of Jesus, where Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so Masood gave his life over to the Lord and became a happy man. Now, there was a man in the community named Pastor Paul, who was a Korean missionary, supported by the Korean church. And by the way, the Korean church has really been very effective in sending missionaries all over the world, and they've done that also in Athens. So Pastor Paul noticed that Masood had a shepherd's heart, that he had the gift of being a pastor. So he took him under his wing, and he began to disciple him and train him and preparing him so that he would then become the pastor of other Afghans coming to Christ in the Athens area. Little by little, the little fellowship grew. And I even got to speak at that fellowship when I first went to Athens, shortly after you see that picture was taken. And it was full of about 150 people. Some of them were still Muslims, but they were so open, and it was just wonderful to see the hunger, the spiritual hunger in the Afghan people. And so Masood was so excited with his faith that he wanted to share it with his family. Well, that didn't go over very well. His parents lived in Afghanistan, but when he texted them or emailed them or called them, I don't know exactly what vehicle he used, they were very upset and they cut him off and said, "We don't want to have anything to do with you. We're disappointed that you have turned your back on our faith." And yet Masood continued to pray for his family. 3 years went by, and his parents fell into difficult times. I mean, I don't know if you're watching the news, but Afghanistan is really, there's a lot of turmoil right now, and so more people are leaving Afghanistan. So recently, his parents left and ended up being refugees in the island of Lesbos of Greece. So here's Masood with a fellowship in Athens, and his Muslim parents are now refugees in a camp in a Greek island. And so Masood was so excited, went to visit them and at the refugee camp. And for days, they talked and talked, and they asked a lot of questions. They're at the point in their lives where they're the lowest point. They've tried everything. They hung on to what they knew was truth, but it wasn't working for them. And so here they were in the moment of wondering what to do. And after many, 3 days actually, Masood's mother asked if she could be baptized. Now, she had suffered deeply with depression, a very severe case of depression that left her not wanting to hardly eat or sleep, and so she suffered a lot. But the moment she came to know the Lord, she was instantly healed. She smiled from face to face. She took the veil off, and she became a free woman, and her husband joined her in that. And so, isn't that wonderful? So in that moment of darkness, God came through. Now, Masood has a brother in Germany, and the brother isn't quite as agreeable. He's actually a right hand to the mullah, the religious leader of the mosque in Germany. And Masood went to visit his brother to tell him about what happened to his parents. And his brother was so angry and said, "I want you to leave now, and I don't want to ever see you again." And so Masood has come back to Athens, and he's rallied the prayers of the saints in Athens to pray for his brother that he will come to know the Lord soon, just like his parents. So as before we close, I want us to take a moment to pray for this man and for this family, that God will do a miraculous work among them. Lord Jesus, we thank you that every prayer that we pray is heard by heaven if it's in your will. And we know, Lord, that it is your will that Masood's brother come to know you. We ask now in the name of Jesus for saving grace. We ask that the words that he heard from his brother, the seeds that were planted, will not return void, but somehow, Lord, they will haunt him where he will think of those words over and over and over again. We ask that he will take a new look and a new perspective of his life, and that he will realize that there is more to knowing you than what he already has. We ask, Lord, for your kindness and your grace to envelop this man, and whatever fear is gripping him, may he know today that you love him and that you're calling him into a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to say that Muslim refugees are discovering that in their darkest hour that Jesus is indeed alive, and they're embracing him in large numbers, which is really exciting. We're living in historic times. It's a time when more Muslims are coming to Christ in the 21st century than the last 700 years combined. So we call that a move of God. We call it a miraculous supernatural activity where God is doing his, it's almost like all the prayers that were prayed over the years have now been heard and everything is now starting to happen and we're seeing amazing things happen. And it is in the valley where these people are have find themselves when the only thing left is to lift their heads up, that they then discover a loving Savior who welcomes them with outstretched arms. And so it is with us as well, that it is through the hard times that we discover the revelation of God in a way that is so transformative that we become different people. And I believe part of that transformation isn't just for our own benefit. Part of that transformation is that we may be a light in the world and that we may be able to encourage others. So I want to close with Isaiah 61:3 that says, God promises us a divine exchange. He says he gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God calls us not to pray mechanical prayers where we pray and then we just get up and move on. He wants us to pause and to allow his presence to be felt in our hearts, because that's the moment when we become changed from one glory to another. So friends, life is full of challenges, but we have a God who promises to help us win every battle. And so therefore, find the song that allows you to declare your faith, to declare your confidence in God, and sing it every day. Sing it every day. And then know that we are living in historical times when things are changing around us and God wants us to be ambassadors of hope, both here and throughout the world. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may be bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.